you can very much still book a 2024 year ahead reading with me. And also, guys, I just put this in my link tree, but I put out like a 2024 classes survey, and I'm just trying to be a little bit more organized going into 2024 about my classes, because previously I've done things a little bit more a la ADHD Pisces, where I just like am like, oh, I'm gonna teach this next month, and then I like put it up and run the class. But this year I'm trying to plan it out for the whole year, so when you guys ask, I can just tell you guys, like, oh, okay, the tarot class is gonna come in whatever March, or my astrology course is gonna start in April, you know. So link in bio. So please go ahead and take that survey if you are interested in classes in 2024, whether that be astrology, tarot. Definitely thinking about doing the Women Who Roam with the Wolves book club container again. That was super fun last time we did that. And also, Sarah and I have intentions to run the Untethered Artist class again, too. So I think there's like a little something for everybody. And it's definitely dream, goal, ambition of mine to run my astrology course for the first time this year. So that's kind of big. Like, that's a big goal that I've been working towards in my business for a while. So, and thanks everybody. If I have anybody here who came in person yesterday to my 2024 year ahead astrology workshop at Five Point, it was super fun. And, thank you so much for coming. And yeah, it was a great little time. We got to tune into the astrology of 2024 as a collective. By the way, I am, I do have a wild Parmesan sitting in my lap right now. I'm babysitting Parmesan this week. And it's so funny. You guys think I have like 50 million pets. I swear I actually have no pets of my own, unfortunately. But often, so my roommate has a cat. The orange cat that you guys sometimes see, that's Danny. Then I'm often around Parmesan. Parmesan's my friend's dog, and I am Parmesan's auntie. And then my landlords have two Bernese Mountain Dogs that are often in my backyard. So sometimes I take pictures of them. They're very cute. And then there's, what other pets am I around? Oh, and then there's my parents' Shih Tzu named Henry, the little fluffer, the fluffer nutter that sometimes appears on my stories. But I am a true Jupiter in Sagittarius. I'm always surrounded by animals. I look forward to the day when I can have my own dog. I love dogs. I also love donkeys, and I love horses. I don't think I'll ever own a horse, but maybe someday if I have like a farm or something, I would love a donkey. That would be cute. And thank you all for, thanks Laura. Thanks for the Capricorns who've already filled out the class survey. Oh, and Katie, you said when you traveled last year, you had those beautiful wolves. Yeah, that was so fun. In 2022, I stayed at this Airbnb, in North Carolina that was kind of like on a farm, and they had like five dogs and a ton of cats, and they had two horses, a pig, a tortoise. Like, there were like There are so many animals. And one of the dogs in the pack was, like, legitimately half wolf, I remember. So he was kind of, he had an attitude, but he was funny. So, yes, all the animals are here. Parmesan is asleep in my lap right now. It's kind of cold for him outside. This week in Chicago, it's like, let's see. My Apple Watch says it's -6 degrees today with a high of 2 degrees. So Parmesan's dad had the right idea because they are in Paris this week. And according to them, it's about 45 degrees in Paris. So that might as well be summer. And I am here. Me and Parm are bracing the cold. But my friends, happy new week. Happy January. How has January been going so far? How are we tuning into the year ahead? I'm kind of like, you know, feeling into, you know, yesterday in the year ahead astrology workshop, a lot of the transits I highlighted for 2024 were Jupiter transits. And we've been talking about this for, you know, a little while, but I think one of the biggest transits of 2024, and I think most astrologers would agree with me that, you know, we're looking at that end of April Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus. You know, that's going to be a pretty cool moment, I think, in 2024. And then, you know, Jupiter will change signs and shift into Gemini at the end of May and make some interesting aspects for the rest of the year to Saturn. I just kind of look at 2024 and I think this is sort of a Jupiter, this is like kind of a Jupiter heavy year, if that makes sense. And I don't know if we've really had a Jupiter sort of emphasized year in a while. For a while there in like 2020, 2021, Saturn was really the star of the show. You know, we had Saturn in Capricorn, Saturn in Aquarius. And now it feels like because Saturn is finally in Pisces, I mean, Pisces is Jupiter's sign. So what's kind of lucky about 2024 is that Jupiter is making some pretty cool transitions, and Saturn, who does have the tendency sometimes to like slow down Jupiter, or just in Saturn's sort of agenda, sometimes it's a bit opposite to Jupiter, whose agenda is usually about growth and expansion. Saturn's agenda is typically about limitations and building foundations. And just even the fact that Saturn this year continues to be ruled by Jupiter, like, I don't know. I kind of have an interesting feeling about this year, okay? Just when it comes to this year maybe being more externalized, like it feels like our dreams are becoming more external after a pretty long time of a lot of internal work. Now, the internal work and reflection never ends, but I do feel like this year there's a payoff a bit. Like there's an externalization of some internal work that we've been examining potentially for years. And that's the thing, like, that we don't realize about a lot of external manifestations that I think often come about with Jupiter transits. Sometimes we don't acknowledge just how much internal, like, internal examination that was needed or required in order to manifest the external thing, you know? And I think there's something about January where we're really sitting in the possibility that some of these external manifestations could come about this year, right? Also, has anybody been feeling like, I don't know, like more just like their dreams are being refreshed right now, or there's a new set of goals and ambitions, or there's a new slighter, like there's a slight sense of motivation coming through. Maybe it's not like right this minute, but you can feel it coming. That's how I've been feeling this month. Like, I haven't been pressuring myself to be off to the races, doing like a bunch of stuff. But I also have been feeling like, yeah, like I'm actually the word that comes to me is ready. Like, I'm finally ready to receive this, or I'm finally ready to put this in action. Yes, starting to stretch the wings, definitely. And Katie, you also said it feels like I'm leveling up after 2 years of painful hatching. That's a really good way of putting it. Like, truly. There's been some definite Saturnian challenges since even like 2018, 2019, like, and I don't want to like, I don't want to give false optimism that this year will be easy and without challenges, but at the same time, when we are ready, when we are in the frequency of being ready to receive, I think things click and manifest in a way that feels sort of in alignment with divine timing. And that's also the beauty of Jupiter. Because Jupiter is the planet of expansion, what does that really mean? Well, there's a gift with Jupiter when it comes to sort of taking the risk at the right time. Because when we take a risk at the right time, or we take a risk when that divine timing alarm goes off, is it really a risk? You know, or are we just listening to the flow in the waves of the universe? I think that might be not only the message of this month, January 2024, but also the year. Yeah, like the year ahead, 2024. Also, this week in my Chicago tarot class, we were talking about how 2024 is an 8 year, because 2 plus 2 plus 4 adds up to 8, right? And in numerology, 8 is a number that often correlates with, what's the word? Like, not maturity, mastery. It's a number where we are, you're making my leg fall asleep. It's a number where we've become the master of a certain task. We've become a master of potentially harnessing our energy in a certain way. And there's a newfound sense of wisdom that comes in line with how we're going about exerting our energetic force. Like, and I think that also might be why a lot of us feel like, okay, I'm about to stretch my wings, or I'm about to, like, be out of that hatching phase. There's this sense that we've mastered something. Not that we can really become, like, ultimately perfect at this or that, but, like, for instance, something that I feel I've mastered, let's say, since 2019 is, oh my God, guys, like, I used to feel this deep urgency that things weren't going fast enough. I used to be in this constant state of, like, why isn't this happening? And is it out of alignment if it isn't happening right away? And, like, should I quit? Or, like, should I not be doing this? Or how long do you continue on a path before nothing when nothing happens until you realize you're on the wrong path? They're like, you know, I would just really panic a lot about, I guess, speed, which is very Jupiterian of me. You know, I have Jupiter in Sagittarius, right, in my natal chart. So sometimes I feel like it's, you know, having Jupiter in such a strong sign, it's a little bit like, okay, let's go. Like, where's the manifestation, right? Something I've been really working to master in the past couple years is this sense of being in the flow state of everything happening in divine timing. And I know I've at least somewhat mastered this, because I don't feel this panic or urgency anymore when I wake up in the morning, you know, as I did maybe 3 years ago. Instead, when I wake up in the morning, I feel like, okay, like, everything's fine. Everything's gonna get done. I'm gonna focus on what I feel intuitively that I need to focus on, and it's all good. Like, and I just realized this in the past, like, couple weeks. I've been like, wow, like, I've been a lot better at not clicking into the urgency zone, right? And just becoming a little bit more chill, if you will, with the trust in not only timing, not only the trust in spirit timing, but the trust in one's own self. That when we're clicked into our path and our purpose, and we're really having at least a handful of things that are bringing us joy and are in alignment with healing our inner child, you know, there's something there that kind of releases us from, I think, this sense of ego urgency, you know. So I just wanted to say that to start off as we're kind of reviewing 2024. And one thing, too, guys, that I'm thinking about specifically for this week is this week, I would say the transit that is most emphasized is Venus square to Neptune. Yeah, Parmesan, he goes a little crazy about his unicorn. He can only have this for a couple hours a day because he's, like, oddly obsessed with it, but it's his unicorn time. Yeah, it's your unicorn time. Yeah. All right. Apologies to... You're not allowed to be up on that couch. Apologies to the podcast listeners for the dog audio. Okay, he's sitting down now. So, yes, the week... The week of January 14th. Yeah, I'm looking. I'm seeing this Venus Neptune square feels like kind of the start of the show this week. Now, sometimes we think of a Venus-Neptune square as the Delulu transit. It's like, what do I mean by Delulu? Well, Neptune has a tendency to kind of make us see things from rose-colored glasses. Like, Neptune is an optimist most of the time. Neptune kind of feels like it's a cloud and allows us to see things through, like, a poet's lens or an artist's lens, right? I mean, Neptune is the planet of poetry, art, photography. Actually, photography is one of my favorite ways to explain Neptune. I mean, Neptune literally rules over photography, but there's a reason for that, because when you put a camera, like, in front of your face and you click the capture button, you get a picture of reality, but it's not the literal thing, right? Like, the literal thing is you looking at it with your eyes, but you put the camera in front of your eyes and you capture a moment in time. You capture an interpretation of reality, right? Even if that interpretation of reality is extremely realistic, it's still an interpretation. That's kind of something that Neptune plays with. Like, what is reality? What is fantasy? I don't know. Like, that's something that I love about Neptune. But, you know, hang on, guys. You guys just got to see Parmesan really quick. This is what he's doing. Parmy, what are you doing? Okay. So Neptune being a interesting manifestation of reality, right? Now, when Neptune squares Venus, Venus is the planet of love, right? Venus is the planet of harmony, the way we get along with others. Venus is concerned with making things beautiful, right? So you can understand, you know, if you flip open like a Robert Hand, like Planets in Transit, like a really traditional astrology book about transits, and you flip to the page about the Venus-Neptune square, you might read something like, we're all going to be Delulu this week. You know, don't drink too much, or be careful not to get caught up in your fantasies. Because again, you can imagine Neptune, the planet of delusion, illusion, fantasy. Venus, the planet of love, the planet of beauty. You know, there's a bit of, like, I'm seeing things through rose-colored glasses when Venus is squared to Neptune. But I think Parm has Venus square Neptune in his natal chart. But, you know, here's the thing. That's not actually the prediction I'm feeling into for the week ahead. I don't think we should be extra careful about being Delulu this week, or like, this is such a Pisces message. I'm like, be more Delulu. Be more, be in a fantasy even more. But I'm also like, all right, this Venus-Neptune square is happening all week. But also, we have so much in Capricorn right now. Mercury just got back into Capricorn. Mars is in Capricorn, exalted in Capricorn. Sun is in Capricorn. Pluto is in its last week in Capricorn for like a while. You know, there's like four planets holding us down to the reality of what's happening right now, you know? So I actually think this week we can afford to dream. I know that sounds cheesy, but like we can afford to invest in the vision. Let's invest in the ideal. And let's actually become even closer with our dreams. So, you know, there's something here about that push and pull between the heavy Capricorn influence of January and then also this really Venus-Neptunian week where it's like our relationship with our dreams is changing. Like, for instance, something that I've been thinking about even for my own dream of, like, you know, my astrology business and things like that, you know, working with clients. Like, I know I, like, love and this is, like, my passion. I know that because it gives me energy to consult with my clients about their year ahead or whatever. Or, like, clients, if they're going through a hard time, like, sometimes they'll, like, apologize to me and be like, oh my god, like, I'm sorry I'm crying, or, like, I'm sorry I'm, you know, emotional, and I'll be like, it just doesn't faze me, like, in a way, I'm honored and I'm blessed to be in that space with you, that you would trust me to be in that space, you know, and even if, like, a reading is, quote-unquote, a rough one, or serious, or we're covering serious topics, which we often are, I still feel energized after that, you know? Like, I still feel like, okay, yeah, like, I was doing the thing that, I know the universe, wants for me. I think that's how we feel when we exude some sort of talent or gift. We feel energized, right? And you know, that's the dream, but at the same time too, the dream might be slightly shifting, or I should say expanding this week, you know, like, something that I've been sitting with is, you know, this, like, I guess statistically, like, a lot of my clients are therapists. And something in 2023 that I've been really enjoying is working with, you know, collaborating with some of the other therapists at Five Point, which is the acupuncture / holistic health office I work part-time at. I've been really enjoying, like, interviewing therapists on my podcast. Just about a month ago, we had Lauren Hava Rose talk about her book. I think you're here, Laura. The Heart Word. Lauren's a therapist. Like, I don't know. There's just something about the camaraderie or the partnership between myself as an astrologer and other therapists that has been, like, really fulfilling and starting to be like another layer of my dream. Like, how do I work with more therapists? How do I collaborate with more therapists on client work? I think on the other hand too, the therapy world is really longing for a change too. You know, at least 10, if not 20 mental health workers have talked to me about, like, how messed up the system is, or how, you know, they went to grad school for this degree or whatever, and it's just, you know, all the teachings of white men and, you know, the sort of idea that maybe we don't even learn about trauma or trauma healing, really, oftentimes in, like, the mental health sphere, or it's, like, a short elective or whatever. And I think there's a real awakening going on with the therapy world about how much a spiritual practitioner can offer in the journey of the healing process, right? So I'm saying this because there's, like, another layer, at least of my dream, kind of presenting itself this year, where I'm like, okay, how do I work with therapists more? What does that look like? How do I do that ethically? What is that gonna look like? And that's, like, the perfect thing to think about with a Venus-Neptune square. It's actually easier to tap into our dreams and ambitions and kind of get excited about what that could offer us and how that could come about, right? Some of you might be tapping into, you know, being a writer or being an artist. Maybe there's a different layer of your dream presenting itself. Maybe you're a body worker or a massage therapist, and there's some training that you didn't expect you'd be taking, but you are going to go take it, you know, and it's a different layer now of the healing that you're providing people. Maybe you weren't expecting to go after this promotion in the next couple months, but you are, and it's going to change the way you're, you know, what you're doing at work, but it's actually ultimately a good thing. Like, there's something about the dream. There's, like, an extra layer, if that makes sense. Like, there's an extra layer to the dream that wants to be tapped into now. And that is reminiscent of the Venus-Neptune square. It's also happening, you know, Venus is in Sagittarius, and Neptune is in Pisces, okay? Neptune's been in Pisces for a long time. But Venus will be in Sagittarius for at least another week. And Sagittarius and Pisces are the signs that speak to our relationship with God and the universe. At least that's kind of what I think. I mean, they're the two signs that are ruled by Jupiter traditionally. So I think specifically when a square happens in Sagittarius and Pisces, it's a question of how are we currently trusting? How are we currently trusting in the partnership that we have with the universe, you know, like, and that could be the square, you know, square sometimes is tension. I don't really know how much tension this one in particular is gonna bring about, but, you know, I do think maybe that for some of us, there's a little bit of a epiphany this week, like, oh my God, like, what would I be doing differently if my partnership with the universe was filled with more trust? How would I be making different decisions if I was trusting even more that the universe was holding me, you know? Like, that feels, again, a little cheesy, but it is a week to be cheesy with the Venus-Neptune square. So thinking about that going into this week, our relationship with God, our relationship with the universe, and the different goals, or the different layers, I should say. Let's describe it as the layers of our dreams. There might be a new iteration of the dream coming through. The dream is getting more complex, and it's almost becoming, I think when things become a reality, when something goes from the kind of ethereal imagination realm into the material realm, once things manifest in the material realm, they often become more layered, right? And Horner Darling, you said this: a square is turning obstacles into opportunities. Yes, I love that. I love it. That's why I actually sometimes prefer a square to a trine. For those of you who are maybe not as like tuned into what the astrological aspects mean, a trine is like quote unquote the most harmonious aspect, and a square is one of the more challenging aspects. But you know, sometimes a trine adds up to like not necessarily laziness, but sometimes during a trine we don't feel like we have to take action, or like we feel like we can just sit this one out. And a square, I think, is so much more productive. Not productive in a capitalistic sense, but like this sense of the square creates friction in order for us to move forward. Whereas the trine, there's not as much friction, so it's sometimes a little bit harder to get motivated under a trine. Okay. Corey, you said trines can be overloading too much energy at once. Yeah. Totally. And, you know, it's interesting because the card I pulled for us was the Ten of Cups. I feel like we talked about this card recently. This card keeps coming up for us. The Ten of Cups, arguably, at least in the Rider-Waite-Smith, it has like one of the most like happy, joy images on it, right? Like, we literally have a rainbow, 10 cups. We have like two little kids skipping and dancing. You know, mom and dad are, you know, overjoyed with the beautiful landscape of their home and the nature, and not a cloud's in the sky. You know, the only things in the sky is a rainbow. So there's a bit of sometimes we don't believe this card. Or at least that's me. Like, sometimes I pull this and I'm like, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it is true. Like, there have been readings for, you know, that this card for me comes through as, like, a disillusionment or confusion or fantasy, right? Very Neptunian. But, you know, it is really coming through to me this week as a little bit more ease. And again, going back to that key word that came through for this week, ready. I'm ready. Like, I'm ready to receive this. I'm ready to go after this. I'm ready to receive the next layer of my dream. Katie, you said, in the Mother Peace image, the rain finally comes to the parched land. The lesson or twist being that there may be overwhelm, not everything is sinking in, and maybe instead, and is maybe instead rushing past you. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, we'll keep this in mind. But I really don't think we have to worry too much about fantasy overtaking us this week with that Venus-Neptune square. You know, there's so much being held down by Capricorn. I think we can afford a little imagination. That's something that my teacher, Adam Ellenboss, once said to the class in his ancient astrology class. Or I can't remember if it was in his class or his podcast, but he said something like, we don't use our imaginations enough. We're often way too realistic. You know, like, we're often too miserly with our hopes and dreams and ambitions. And in just overall, in such a Jupiter themed year, don't be miserly with your vision, you know, and allow this week to influence you with the Venus Neptune square in a good way, right? And if you are a photographer, if you are an artist, if you are a creative writer, great, great week for creative work. And, Emmy, I saw that you're going to be editing a fantasy book this week. That is so great. I love that manifestation for the Venus-Neptune square. And you also said, getting lost in the occasional fantasy land, book, game, movie is my favorite form of therapy. Yeah, totally. We talked about that, like, way back in Highly Sensitive Person summer camp. Like, a form of self-care is, like, getting lost in a fantasy book or a TV show. That's actually really important for highly sensitive people. I like to call it healthy disassociation, if there's such a thing. Like, that kind of, like, I'm just going to check out and give my logistical, analytical part of my mind a rest and tap into the fantasy part of it. Yeah. It's coming through too. Like, I'm pretty sure there's been studies about, like, parts of our brains that we don't use very often. But then, like, people like artists or writers or even, like, when we dream, those parts of the brain light up a lot more. So how can we strengthen that brain muscle? The brain muscle that taps into inspiration and creative force, and the brain muscle that does communicate with the beyond. Yeah, my friends. I love it. And Ellis, you said, I see the kids in the Ten of Cups as inner children, and I want to dream big like a child, and I feel like that is very therapeutic right now. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah, there's been such profound inner child healing going on lately. I really, I give a lot of credit to the Untethered Artist container that Sarah and I held. It was like, I feel like I was able to do a lot of some inner child healing that I haven't been able to quite do before. That is now leading to the different layers of the dreams and the ambitions coming through. It's all good stuff, guys. All right. Let's do some like archetype polls. I think that sounds good. For let's say for the rest of the month, I'm gonna pull some archetypes for you guys. And again, not too late to book a 2024 year ahead reading. At some point, I think in February, I'm gonna raise my prices a little bit. I'll put that in a newsletter. Of course, sliding scale and scholarships are available. Basically, I very, very rarely have I ever turned anybody down who needs a reading and I want to work with you if you need sliding scale. So, you know, that's always going to be available in my practice. But for my regular prices and, you know, those are going to be going up just a little bit. My business consultant is actually Parmesan's dad. And they were looking at my website recently and they totally called me out. They were like, "You're severely underpricing yourself." And I'm like, "I know." Okay. I know. Parmesan's dad is, an astrologer too, not professionally, but, I would say beyond a student. I mean, they're definitely, they definitely have the capacity to give a reading or whatever, but yeah, they were sending me screenshots of other astrologers who are sort of, I guess in the same realm, you know, people who have been doing this the same amount of time as me or whatever. And they were like, "Do you see what these people are charging? And now look at what you're charging." And I was like, okay, we got it. So that has to come about soon. So I'll put it in my newsletter, but if you've been wanting to get a first time reading with me, that will be, it will be a good time to book it because my prices are going to go up soon. All right, friends. Let's tune in. Julian, you said, "Can I get a card to help me?" Yeah, let's see what we got here. Julian, you got the ocean as your archetype. So just in general, I think the ocean represents how the element of water can be healing to us. And this is actually scientifically proven. After we cry, there's a rush, I think, of adrenaline, or there's some sort of brain chemical that comes about after we cry that makes us feel relieved and better, right? So I actually think one of the challenges right now is really just letting yourself feel and, feeling the feelings, expressing the feelings, not being afraid to call your friend and, you know, just be like, "Hey, can you listen to me for a second? I don't really need advice, but I just need someone to, you know, listen to me while I'm working through some of these emotions." Therapists and counselors are also really good at that too. But ultimately, I think what would be helpful right now is letting the emotional release happen. And also, I think in that emotional release, it will be important because it'll help you let go. And even set appropriate boundaries with the things or the people that are no longer meant to be in your space. That's what I'm getting. Amy, you said, I would love a card for my current situation. All my dreams and goals have been put on hold while I take care of my mom. I was super inspired and energized. Now I'm confused about what to focus on. Yeah. Let's see. Okay, so the Venom came out. So the Venom archetype is interesting because if you think about it, like when, like if we got stung by a bee or bit by a snake, it's like the venom gets deposited into like a certain area of our body to like cause us pain, or it feels almost like it's a poisoning force, right? And you need something to like remove that venom. And I'm trying to think of like, sounds like your situation, it's not that like your mom's health, like I don't want to put it as like that's the venom or that's the poison, but like there's something that kind of just like came in and shocked you. And I think this is a reminder from spirit that this venom is not going to be there forever. You do have the power or the energy to heal it. And also, Amy, the dream itself can still be a focus. It just has to be in a different way. And that's also what comes through. Like, you don't have to give up on the dreams and the ambitions just because the original way you saw them happening isn't reality anymore. Like, these dreams and ambitions can still fit into the current reality somehow. It's just going to be a slightly different vision. But I'm sending healing to your mom, Amy, and I know it's always really challenging to be a caretaker to our parents, so I'm sending healing vibes. Katie, you said, I would love a card for January. Yeah. Ooh, cool, Katie. You got the orphan. Definitely a lot of inner child work going on. The orphan, I think the orphan sometimes is a sign that when we are holding our inner child like in like a loving and healing and caring way, we're able to tap into our creative process differently. And oftentimes we think that it's romantic relationships that really trigger our inner child wounds. And that is true, but also the creative process triggers that as well. Because the creative process is also a relationship, but it's a relationship with the universe, and it's a relationship with ourselves, and a relationship with inspiration, right? So I'm getting that, yeah, like, you know, the inner child healing is directly correlated with the healing that you're doing with your creative process right now. And yeah, a lot is transforming. You know, the snake is there too. I like it. I like it, Katie. Corey, you said, I love a card. Yeah, let's see here. We've got the Destroyer. Cool. That's cool. Corey, I think you've been in this sort of letting go process, or this sort of death and rebirth thing for a long time. And I actually love the Destroyer archetype because it's a universal law. Like, what is destroyed, whatever is destroyed, there's like new birth must come from it. And we do see that. Like, we see, even when we pour concrete down on the sidewalk outside, you know, there's plants that grow through the cracks, you know, like, there's always new life that comes after the destruction. And I think that is now what you're starting to see. Like, how can new life come from this? Yeah. Emmy, you said I would love an archetype card. Yeah, totally. Let's see, Emmy. Ooh, okay, you got the shaman? That's cool. I'm thinking about how you are, yeah, editing someone's fantasy book this week and maybe working on your own creative projects. And the shaman archetype is the transmuter of energy. I think, you know, the shaman oftentimes reminds me of Pluto. I'm also thinking about how this week is the last week of Pluto in Capricorn, at least for a couple months. Like, Pluto's still finishing his time in Capricorn, but he will move to Aquarius next Sunday. So that feels profound, especially for the Capricorn risings, right, Emmy? And I'm wondering, like, what is transmuting in this last week with Pluto right on your ascendant? And what have you realized about yourself and your own identity? And and how have you become your own shaman or energetic mover? That's what a shaman does, like, transmutes energy, moves energy, and also retrieves energy that we've lost from certain circumstances and brings it back to us. So I just get this sense that there's actually energy that's coming back to you that you thought you lost. It's like, it's returning to you. Laura, you said I would love a card for my birthday week. It's Tuesday. Woo! Happy solar return. Ooh, okay. Laura, you got the pilgrim. Yeah, this reminds me so much of the fool. Because what does the pilgrim do? Well, the pilgrim is going into uncharted territory to build a new life. And there's, like, an inherent hope and faith that the pilgrim has because, like, they have to have that faith that the universe is on their side as they begin to build their life back up. And I wonder if there is actually, like, a literal location change implied in this card, Laura. But I'm excited to see, like, what this year is going to bring when it comes to travel, both literally and metaphorically. And I also think that the pilgrim, like I said, like, there's just this really deep strength in the partnership with the universe. Love it. Horner, darling, you said I'd love a card. Okay, Horner, darling, you got the mirror. Cool. Love it. The mirror, if you're familiar with the tarot, I think the mirror very much relates to, like, the lover's archetype, which has to do with what the outside world is reflecting back to us. And I think it's important this week specifically, like, what's going on in your relationships? What's going on with the things that are being reflected back to you by others? And also, too, sometimes we crave that others would change, right? Like, who hasn't been frustrated with, like, their partner or, like, their mom or their dad or their boss? Like, if only this person would change. But sometimes it's in our best interest to just shift something in ourselves first before wishing someone else would change. And that can be a better conduit of the sort of evolution itself. So I think there's also a personal shift that you're making this week, even, that feels pretty powerful. And it could even be just a shift in narrative, okay? Lauren, you said, I would love an anchor card. Ooh, I love this. The Creator. This is so you. I actually think, like, it feels to me like spreading the message of the Creator is really important. And maybe, you know, you have your Jagged Path Writing School, like, you're like, I don't know if there's maybe a class, or now that you've written your memoir, maybe you're gonna give a webinar about how to write a memoir, you know, or, you know, maybe you have therapy clients that need inspiration from you to go on their own path and create their own thing. But it feels like you being not only the Creator in your life, but that, it's funny, Spirit is saying that the Creator is contagious. So you're inspiring others to also tap into this energy this week. Cool. Alexandra, you said, hey, Mal, can I please have a card for the guidance this week? Yeah. The Mountain. This is my favorite card in the deck. I just love the imagery. The Mountain. If you think about it, the mountain is the unmovable force in nature. It's like a heavy thing. It's a grounded thing. And in order to embrace the archetype of the mountain, what is unmovable inside of you? Is it your trust in God and the universe? Is it your ability to love and care? Is it your ability to forgive? I think, like, your own personal rootedness, groundedness, security, relationship with yourself is of very great importance right now. And if you have any mountains near you that you want to go, like, be friends with, that would be good, I think. Like, the literal mountain in nature. Go visiting a mountain and seeing what that mountain communicates with you feels special. Ellis, you said, I would love a card for the week. Yeah, let's see here. Ellis, the Lover. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, this is coming through as, like, permission to enjoy your relationships, your friendships, permission to find enjoyment in your alone time just as much as you find enjoyment in, like, spending time with someone, or, you know, like, there's something here about, maybe there is a fear when we are in partnership that we're going to, like, lose ourselves or compromise our own integrity, or, like, you know, whatever. Like, it feels very Libra. It feels very Libra-like archetype. But at the same time, there feels like there's this grounding and honoring the relationship that you have with yourself. And I think giving yourself a pat on the back for continuing to put energy into that relationship. Sam, you said, I would love an archetype card. I know, I love this artwork too. It is so cool. Sam, the Queen. Oh yeah. I like this. This feels like a return to your power. This feels like a return to... It feels like an energy boost. And I'm really connecting with the deep red in this card, which reminds me of the root chakra. And as you know, this is the energetic space that kind of contains our life force energy, and it allows us to feel secure and safe, and that deep feeling that I'm on the right path, it's the right timing, that I think comes from the root chakra. I think it feels like a very empowering week. And maybe that is the question too, like, how do I walk? How do I take steps this week in my divine empowerment? Like, how does each step or decision I make reflect my empowerment? Laura, you said, I would love a card for whatever the universe wants me to hear about all the changes going on. Yeah. Let's see. Ooh, I love this for you, Laura. The dead end. This checks out because you know what? When we are just on the precipice, when we're on the precipice of, like, we're just starting on a new path. For sure the ego is turning around and looking at the path that we just left, and we're like, oh, well, that path was safe. At least, I mean, I was filled with suffering, but at least I knew what to expect. You know, like, maybe I should go back. So this is a reminder, there is no going back. And that is okay. And you actually don't want to go back. Your soul doesn't want to go back. It is a dead end. And yet it is very natural, I think, to look behind our shoulder and, you know, be like, oh my God, I'm panicking. But you're good. You're good, Laura. Like, trust in the dead ends. And even though the precipice can feel intimidating with how much potential there is, you would rather be intimidated by potential than in deep suffering of the lack of potential. Oh, thanks, guys. And I think Blue Sky, you'll be my last card. You said, I would love a card. I'm stuck in a cycle and I need more health-based healing. Okay, so Blue Sky, the flame comes out. So if you think about it, I mean, the flame is like a small iteration of the fire, of the element of fire. And fire is what motivates us to move forward, take action, you know, take the next step. That's the element of fire. So if you were to light a flame, what does that look like? Like, does that look like making one doctor's appointment? You know, just one. And it's like that lights a flame for something else. Or is it just taking a 20-minute walk a day? That's it, just the 20-minute walk. You know, how can you light little flames when it comes to your health instead of trying to have this whole big bonfire happen at once? Because that almost feels too intimidating. So it feels like this message of little actions count so much more right now than this big grandiose thing that sometimes we have in our minds. Yeah, Pluto. We're all ready for Pluto to move into Aquarius. And Oh my God. Wait, Alexandra, you said the mountains. You are visiting the mountains and hills in the Valley de Guadalupe, feeling the trip as transformative. I'm getting in your books. Ah, that'll be great. Laura, you got this. I love it. Cool. My friends, you're the best. Which church is, it's averaging more like once every other week. That's kind of becoming my capacity at the moment. But at the same time, yeah, just keep an eye out because I do have intentions of next week coming back on for the Pluto moving into Aquarius moment. So yeah, just bear with me a little bit with the slightly weird schedule. I know there are some weeks now with my work schedule and client capacity that it's hard to sometimes get on, and sometimes I have to make the choice to save my energy for later. But yeah, know I'm always thinking about you guys, and I love this community a lot. If you haven't filled out my 2024 class survey, please do. And thank you so much for all of those that have, all of you that have. And yeah, friends, lots of love to you, and we'll be back soon.